Hi, this is Stephanie Carson.
And this is Aaron Carson.
From Gypsy Circus Cider Company.
And you're listening to Cider Chat.
Episode number 81. Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Rhea Windcaller, and I am the producer and the Cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with makers, enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. And this week, we're finding out about the cider scene in Tennessee with Stephanie and Aaron Carson of the Gypsy Circus Cider Company. There'll be more on that chat in just a moment. I am pleased to announce, Ciderville, that via the Cider Chat YouTube channel, you can now view 12 fun cider-related clips. Most recently, the presentation on the U.S. cider market trends was uploaded and is now viewable. Now, what is that? Well, if you're a regular listener to Cider Chat, you'll recall in episode 77, we did the entire audio version of that presentation. And what I'm speaking about there is Danny Breaker and Matt Crompton, who work with Nielsen. Now, Nielsen is a marketing research group, and they are working with the United States Association of Cider Makers to really get a sense of where the cider market is going, and certainly to dispel these myths that the market is declining, because contrary to that kind of false rumor, it is growing and going up. Now, this presentation is specifically the slideshow presentation along with the audio. It's about 50 minutes long and really, really worth it. I mean, if you're in the industry, if you have people working out in the market trying to sell those wares to the stores and to new customers, this is key. If you are going out to different cider fests and you want to get an understanding of what the drinker is expecting, it's all in there. And it's not just on the U.S. It's also looking at the market in Europe, too, and around the world. I highly recommend taking the time to go to the Cider Chat YouTube channel and now view that. And I would also recommend using it as a training tool. If you're having new hires come in to work with you, whether they're going out to pick the apples in the orchard, they're helping you in the pressing, it really helps to have an understanding of the larger picture and help folks have a better conversation when we're out and about trying to explain where cider sits in relationship to beer, wine, and spirits. I was so excited to be able to get permission to post this, and a big tip of the glass to Alex, who, via the Cider Chat Patreon page, reached out to me and said if I needed some help with audio or video editing, that he might be able to help. So thank you so very much, Alex, and I hope to continue working with him so we could get more of these little videos that I've been sitting on and trying to get them out to you. Subscribe to the Cider Chat YouTube channel today so that you'll be notified next time a new video is uploaded. Now, maybe in your spot of Ciderville, all that you're interested in doing is drinking cider. And I can totally relate. After all, it was my love of cider that inspired me to begin producing this here podcast just for you. So, if you are going to be out in Colorado or can get yourself to Colorado this August 26, why not enter the giveaway for two tickets to the Cider Circus? It's only going to be about an hour and a half outside of Denver. And all you have to do to enter to win is subscribe to eCider News. Yes, Ciderville, besides having the podcast, besides having the YouTube channel, besides having the Cider Chat Facebook page, the @CiderChat on Twitter, or @CiderChat Ciderville on Instagram, there is also an eCider News. So now you have a little idea on why it's kind of taking me a little bit of time to get these videos up. But we're working it because that is what it's all about to stay interconnected out in Siderville. And this eSider News is a big way for me to be able to reach out to you and let you know about some upcoming events that might get kind of like lost in the podcast. You know, when you're downloading and moving it here or there, sometimes it gets a little lost. So that email will come right to your mailbox because there's going to be a live podcast recording coming up in August. There's this giveaway happening right now, and there's some even more exciting news coming up on the horizon. And I'm going to kind of hold back the horses on that for now. But a great way to stay connected is via your subscription to eSider News. And I'll be getting that critical mass and we'll be sending out those emails. And I can't wait because there's just so much always happening out there in Siderville. So check it out today. You'll find a link to that in the show notes for this episode, number 81. And at ciderchat.com, there's always a link to eSider News. Now, it just so happens that this week's guests, Stephanie and Aaron Carson from Gypsy Circus Cider Company in Tennessee, are the founders of Cider Circus in Colorado. So we're going to be checking in with them now on this pre-recorded chat that took place in February of 2017. Let's roll there right now and grab our glass and join this chat.
We are sitting here at CiderCon in Chicago. Yesterday afternoon, I was going out to the Cider Share, and I looked over and I saw now Stephanie. Stephanie was like, "Here, try this," which is my favorite kind of like little, you know, right sentence in Siderville. I tried your cider, which is the, is it a bourbon barrel?
It's a whiskey barrel, Tennessee whiskey.
The Marionette,
which is part of our Puppet Master series.
The Puppet Master series are ciders that are aged over 3 months in barrels. The Marionette is a blend of late season apple varieties that are slowly fermented and aged in Tennessee whiskey oak barrels. The Marionette was my first introduction to Gypsy Circus Cider, and I was pleased. I was also pleased by the fact that I was meeting two folks from Tennessee who were dressed in a playful circus attire. So I had to ask, how did you get started in cider making?
Well, he started making it at home, and we had already been living in the craft beverage world. We run an event company, and so we knew our craft brewers very well. We also knew that there's a growing number of people that are looking for cider, and then when we did our research, we found that there was no craft cidery in the state of Tennessee. So we saw an opportunity, and his cider was tasting great, so we opened up Gypsy Circus.
The other thing I'll say is that, you know, the good thing about East Tennessee, just like Western North Carolina, is that there's some good apples in that area, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not all Tennessee has good apples. It's really the eastern part that has, you know, some apples that we like, and so we're kind of lucky that way.
What are the orchards like down there, and what are their history? Are they, like, young orchards? Are we looking at 30, 40, 50-year-old orchards?
No, I mean, so there are some older orchards there, but the older orchards are they're more smaller in nature, but there's new ones as well. We've tried to work with Unicoi County, which is in East Tennessee, to really try to incentivize the Chamber of Commerce, to incentivize the growers to stay with orchard and stay with cider making, or not cider making, but cider apple producing. But it is.
Are they producing cider apples?
It's all culinary right now, right? So we're really just trying to help figure out a way, because it's really, you know, the young guys are like, hey, it's not sexy enough to stay at the orchards. We want to do something else. So trying to work with the chambers to figure out a way to make them stay in the industry.
And we're also a new opportunity for them because there's, you know, many of them had been selling to the baby food manufacturers and applesauce folks. Wow. And that industry has waned. They weren't getting as much business. And so this is a new opportunity for them as well. So it's kind of exciting to see it all come together.
You know, you've got the McIntosh, the Rome's, the Pink Delicious, Red Delicious, Lady Fingers. It's more of those, you know, just straight culinary varieties. You know, we're not bringing Dabinets and things like that there.
That's okay.
But we did plant some. We did plant some this year. We started planting some rootstock, Dabinet rootstock. So there's nothing that's long-term horizon. So
you're not necessarily an orchard-based cidery. You're sourcing your fruit.
Mm-hmm.
When you say you're planting, you're planting your own orchard. Is that what I'm saying?
We're starting, so we'll put it that way. So we've got some rootstock from Cummings, and so we got some Dabinets in Thanksgiving time, right? So we planted those. So just kind of getting our feet wet in that process, but it's nothing that we're, you know, it'll take a lot of time. It'll take a lot of time and many years before that will come to fruition.
Are those standard or dwarf trees that you planted?
Dwarf.
Okay, so you're going to get sooner production out of that, no doubt.
Yeah.
And who knows, like 3 years' time, 4 years' time, you're going to be like, hey, look, I got these little Dabinets. Little Tennessee Dabinets. Are you both from Tennessee originally?
Yes.
We are.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding.
Yep.
I love that. I'm kind of looking for the accent there. Is there a classy Tennessee accent? Like
you still have that draw going on. I mean, I have the draw, but I talk fast. And so I don't know. She doesn't have much of one.
No, not so much. I worked in broadcasting for a number of years, and so they kind of beat it out of you.
Well, that's just wrong. Because I feel when I'm talking to folks from the South, I start getting a draw.
There you go.
And I worked a little bit in, like, I know you're being very kind. Worked a little bit in Louisiana, and I just, like, love, like, that like essence in the language is beautiful. But anyways, I digress. Let's get back.
Well, bless your heart.
There you go.
Well, bless your apple.
I'll take both. So when did your cidery open? When did you become actually commercial?
So last December is when we started production, right? So a year and a couple months ago, right? And so
December of 2015.
Yeah. Oh, so we started production and we age our product for a while, so we weren't ready. So April is when we first had product ready for the market. So we let age.
April
2016.
Mm-hmm. So you're almost a year old. That's something.
Yeah, and so and also at the same time, we also, you know, we wanted to have a barrel program, so we started also getting the cider into the barrel. So we had our barrel aged release, which you tried. It was 2 months shy of a year in December. So we were able to bottle that. So that was, it's kind of fun. And we've tried some fun things. So we've got a wild cider coming up. It'll be 14 months in the barrels. So that'll be coming up next month. And so we're just trying different kind of things to make it kind of exciting.
Yeah, no doubt. And what kind of barrels are you sourcing from? You're using whiskey barrels.
We are. It's really, we're Tennessee cider and Jack Daniels.
Jack Daniels, right.
And they're Tennessee, so it's
night.
Kind of that Tennessee product through and through, right? So we're really trying to stay.
What a nice marriage there. I mean, I bet Jack Daniels is like, heck yeah, you know. Are you the only Tennessee cidery, aren't you?
We're the only one at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, there are other ones coming online now. So there are some others that are now starting up. So they're close for getting ready to pop. So, and I'll say that the caveats were the first craft cidery. So Smith & Forge is located in Memphis.
And they're owned by MillerCoors.
Right.
So they would not be craft.
Right.
And I'm not sure if it's Memphis, Tennessee or Memphis, Arkansas, but I think they play on both sides of
that. No kidding. I didn't know that's where they were located. And they're making their cider and distributing.
Yeah, I'm not sure because when we got our cidery passed, the state had no clue about cider regulations. And so we were like, hey, look at Smith & Forge. And they're like, we don't know. I'm like, I don't know. It was peculiar because they should have been established, the regs. So we had to kind of blaze that path a little bit, which is.
Jeez.
Challenging but fun.
No kidding.
So
that's kind of like the wild, wild west of like cider in that way. That was wild, wild east in this case. Mm-hmm. It's very, very interesting.
Yeah, and it's been interesting to educate the consumers, too, because so many of them, we knew them through our craft beer world, you know, and then now getting to know them through cider and them figuring out that they like it. And I love, we have an outsider tap room that was open last summer that was super fun, and I would love when men would bring their wives there so they could get cider, and we had some craft beer for them, and it was a challenge to me to get them to try our hot cider, for example. Mm. And by the end of the night, 90% of the time, they were drinking a pint of cider. Mm-hmm. And that was my little victory, because that's a new cider mm-hmm. consumer. And so next time they go somewhere, whether it's our cidery or somewhere else, they're going to ask for that. And you know, it's okay to ask for that.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, you know, I find a lot of guys who start trying cider, by the end of the night or the next day, they're saying, you know what, I feel...
Yes.
Like a lot lighter. I'm not kind of having mm-hmm. that heavy feeling. It's digesting really well. Yep. And so I'm seeing that kind of critical mass of men in my life changing it up. And thank you for your service that you're doing down in Tennessee.
No, that's great. But it is one thing, I think, to change perceptions, right? Because I think there is a certain mindset in markets that are not mature like Tennessee. You know, we're here in New York and other big markets where there's a lot of craft cider. They see it.
Yeah.
But Tennessee, because you don't have craft cideries there, they're used to just a different
super
mainstream
sweet.
Kind of cider. I think it's all that way, and like it's not all that way.
Yeah, yeah. So. And I don't think that is unique to Tennessee.
Right.
And that's across the board right now in the market until we start flooding the streets of America with cider, like you're doing right there. Thank you for doing your part.
No, and we're looking forward to other ciders come online, so we're excited about it because... You know, the rising tide lifts all ships, and for us it is we need more craft cideries in the state so that way we can all get that message out together.
And for us it's about the craft. You know, any opportunity we've had to reach out to another small business, for example, our chocolate cider, we reached out to a local chocolate factory and we use their cocoa shells that are harvested on their own farms down in Guatemala. Our coffee cider uses a bean roaster in Nashville, Tennessee. So we can all grow together, and we take great pride that the flavors that are found in our cider are naturally occurring, and that's super important to us.
Wow, that sure is. So how many different cider styles are you making in this 1 year? I mean, you're not even 1 year old yet, you know.
Yeah, we've had 16, I guess. 16 different ones.
Ciders.
Yeah, but we experiment a lot. So, like, you know, we've got a... Yeah, pumpkin cider, which we roasted pumpkin with.
Pumpkin cider. I don't want. Wait. Stop the train. That's the first pumpkin cider I've heard about.
We're going to send you some next year.
Yeah,
I cannot wait.
It was very well received. I mean, it was exciting, and you know, that's grilling. You know, the pumpkins out, and we're like,
we grilled them.
You didn't grill them. We grilled them.
Yeah, we grilled them to kind of macerate a little bit, and then add them to it. Cleaning was a problem, but. But I think we try to have, you know, unique varieties that people aren't used to and just try to push the envelope a little bit more each time and see what, you know, what works. And sometimes it doesn't. But we got a New England cider coming online here soon, so we're excited about trying that style with, you know.
You doing what people feel like a New England cider is, like with adding brown sugar and all that?
Yeah, so it'll be maple syrup. We got the staves and the raisins. And so the only thing I'm worried about is the raisins being... classifies the fruit, so we got to figure that part out, but that's the only piece. But but in general, I mean, it's just
funny.
Trying different things.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like our pepper cider, one we've got called Fire Juggler, it's a Serrano jalapeno, we've got poblano. And it's one of those where I'm surprised because I hate making it because it's very time consuming to seed all the peppers and cut them up. But we've got a customer base that just are diehards about it. You know, it's kind of funny.
Pepper ciders are so popular. Right in front of me, there's two cans of cider here, and this one is Rain Dancer, and then we have Queen of Swords. Are all your ciders being put into cans?
Those two, and then we're just about to can our tea cider, which is called Tea Leaf Reader, which utilizes chai tea from a Black Mountain, North Carolina place.
I'll tell you.
Yeah. And we get the bombers are more of our barrel age, so anything Puppet Master will come out of the bombers, but most things will come through the cans.
All right, well, let's talk about these two. So we have Rain Dancer first. It says Tennessee Dry Cider. Mm-hmm. It's the can itself has a umbrella covering a cloud, a beautiful cumulus cloud, I'm going to say.
There you go.
can't believe I could pronounce it after all the Calvados I just had. And the ABV on this is
6.2.
Beautiful label. It's kind of like a burgundy kind of label there. And prominent Gypsy Circus. So what can you tell us about this?
Yeah, I think the first thing I would say is that we are the only alcohol provider in the state of Tennessee that has, it's very hidden here, but you can see it's this Pick Tennessee right here. So the Department of Agriculture comes in and verifies and makes sure that we use local products. So that's the first thing I'll say is that having the Pick Tennessee logo is a big deal for us.
But from is that on other products in Tennessee, the Pick?
Non-alcoholic products.
Because we're the only craft cidery, right? So it has to be a Department of Agriculture product, like a brewery wouldn't be that.
Unless they're sourcing everything locally, which is hard to do.
Right. There's no hops in Tennessee.
Yeah, well, there's a good hops.
Maybe not enough.
It's not to do everything, right?
My goodness. That's really awesome.
Thanks. Yeah, so, but as far as the can design, we kind of went for the reverse judo move. So what that means is, first of all, it's Rain Dancer, but it's a dry, or semi-dry more so, right? So we kind of had fun with that. We have a little Easter egg everywhere, so it's the apple-shaped umbrella. So that's what we had fun with.
Yes, thank you.
And then it's raining, but it's not raining outside the umbrella, but it's raining inside the umbrella. Uh-huh. So that was kind of, you know, we had fun with the designs, and we've got some great people that helped us on the designs. Yeah. And so, yeah. So that's the kind of the can design for Rain Dancer. And again, this is, it's filtered, but it's 6.2 ABV, meant to be sessionable, but also is drier.
Is there any chapelization in here, any sugar addition to your side?
So on the very beginning of it, we do get the ABV up higher, but that's really it on this side. So there's nothing on the Rain Dancer on the back side at all. So it's only on the front side.
Nice. And what kind of apples would be in this?
So it's going to be, usually have the variety of 3 to 4. So again, it's going to be the Bromes, the Gala, the Lady Fingers, Pink Delicious, Red Delicious. Again, more on the culinary side versus the... For us, we don't have the cider apples in our area, so it's...
You're working with what we have, and a lot of people make fantastic cider out of culinary apples. That's what we know. This is, says Core Series.
It is. So we have 3 different kinds of series. We've got our Core Series, which is our yin and yang, brother and sister. So we've got a semi-dry, semi-sweet. Then we've got our Elixir Series. So our Elixir Series is all of our experimental things that we do. So with the Fire Juggler, which are pepper based, we've got the pumpkin, we've got
Jacktails,
we've got a gingerbread cider we brought out in December, we've got our chai English tea ones. So we got a variety of things that are more experimental.
Nice.
And because we use local ingredients, it's a little bit higher, but that's what we use with those. And then Puppet Master is what we have for all of our barrel aged. So the Marionette is the one you had, the Bourbon Barrel.
So Puppet Master Series?
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's correct. And then underneath Puppet Master is the Marionette, and then we've got one releasing soon, which is the Shadow Puppet, and that's our Wild Ciders.
Now, you might be thinking, Ciderville, like myself, that Gypsy Circus Cider Company is really pushing the envelope here, making a whole wide range of ciders. I mean, they have 2 facilities, one for barrel aging and one which is the main production facility. So that ain't too shabby, is it? And to top it all off, at GlenCap, which is a cider competition which takes place every April in the state of Michigan, this new cidery here took away 4 medals. The Shadow Puppet that Aaron was just talking about took a silver. The Rain Dancer, which is a semi-dry, and the Vaudevillain, which is a cherry cider, both received bronze medals. And the coffee cider that Stephanie was talking about earlier, made with Nashville-based Frothy Monkey Coffee, won a gold. So not too bad for a Gypsy Circus Cider Company. Now let's roll back to this chat.
Yeah, so it's kind of pretty awesome.
That's really awesome.
It's fun.
And the other can here, Queen of Swords, Tennessee Vintage Cider.
So we use the word vintage as more of our semi-sweet. That's kind of the terminology we used on that one. And so for this one, the Easter egg is the apple-shaped stump. So we have a little Easter egg in each one. So the thought process behind this one was that we have a the opposite of sweet would be more of sinister. So if you take it a little that way. Mm-hmm. So we had more of a sinister look. We have a snake tail right there hidden. The backside, Queen of Swords is a tarot card, so you're throwing the tarot card there.
I do, yeah.
And tarot
Sexy little tarot card.
Yeah, and it shouldn't stick in the stump, but it does. And so anyway, we had a lot of fun with the designs. And that's for us, it was more of just having a lot of fun with it and just playing around. And again, it has the Department of Agriculture logo, Pick Tennessee on there somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's important to us that our branding tells a story, too, because the name Gypsy for us is because we're big travelers, and some of our flavor ideas come from our travel. And so we want people to kind of feel an allegiance to that and an understanding, you know, our chai cider, you know, comes from those influences or those travels, or we're doing it, working on a hibiscus right now, and, you know, So we really try to tell that story in our branding and our marketing.
I love that. I love kind of finding like the little Easter egg. That alone is just makes us like the perfect little gift cider.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks. No, we have fun with it. I mean, you've got to enjoy this. You got to have fun with it, right? This is a fun industry to be in, and that's the reason why we chose the word circus. That's the one word that means fun more than anything, from our perspective, right? So circus has a connotation of fun, and so that was kind of that traveling and then the fun kind of marrying those both together.
Nice. When you travel about, was that where you first kind of got your taste for cider, or was it based in Tennessee? And is there a Tennessee tradition for making cider?
That's a funny one, right? So it is more traveling about, right? So I spent some time in the UK, lived in Swindon for a year, and many years ago, right? So really appreciate, they do a great job on that side of the pond. But as far as Tennessee tradition, I think it's really, you know, Tennessee's relegated, not relegated, but we have good culinary apples, and so that's what we use. Right, so that's kind of, I'd say, tradition-wise, we're the only one in the state, as far as craft-wise, so it's a little different. But yeah, I think that's what I would say. We are trying to do some smoked apples and things like that, so we're trying to figure that one out right now. So that's going to be the next one, is smoking some gala apples. And,
wow, how interesting is that?
Yeah, so, you know, like a Rausch, you know, like a Rausch beer you would have, right? So on the cider side, I'm not sure what the equivalent is, but... That's
yeah,
where you
bring
get those.
That really creativity. You know, it's like you're going underneath the circus tent and you don't know what you're going to find.
That's true. You mix it up a little bit. You know, sometimes we had a home run. Most times we do. But sometimes we're like, not happy with that one. And then we got to dump it. And you're like, I don't want to dump it all. But that's all right. You know, it's part of it.
Anytime you dump a cider, call me up.
And I will have to let you know. I will have to let
serious,
you know.
I'm serious, you know, because, I mean, you know, the thing about cider, you know, things change over time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe that's opening up a market for you to look at distilling and working with.
It's true. That's true.
In certain ways. So.
It doesn't happen that often, but you know, on occasion, we've got to make sure we're really happy and really proud of what we bring to the table versus something that we think is not the right answer.
Where are you hoping to be in 5 years?
That's a great question. I think really just the Southeast. I mean, I think it's where we, you know, for us, it is servicing that market personally. You know, like we just entered Nashville, and so now we're going to Nashville and talking to them about our cider because we're Tennessee-based, and that's where we are. So I think really just the region in the Southeast where we can drive to and have a conversation and talk to them about it, and they can meet us and understand the story versus just sending cider somewhere else, and we can't really have that dialogue and can't support it the way we want to support it.
Do you have a kind of a easy way that you explain cider to folks when you show up, like in that Nashville bar, and say, hey, would you bring this on?
We take a different approach. So for us, it is a true meaning of craft. So our craft side is pervasive. So our tap handles are all hand-blown glass. Each tap handle is hand-done.
Got to get
knocks
a photo of that.
Yeah, so each one's hand-done glass. We have a cheese with our rain dancer, small farm, and she actually, it's called English Farmstead, and she turns the cider every 48 hours for 5 months with our rain dancer and makes the cheese. It won the Blue Ribbon in the North Carolina State Fair. Last year, which is a big deal, I guess.
That is a big deal.
And we have truffles with our rain dancer that are made in Kingsport.
Let's give a shout out. Who's the cheesemaker's name?
English Farmstead Dairy. Her name is Susan.
Susan.
Linville, North Carolina.
Yep. Very good. Does she mail order her cheese out, or you have to go?
You got to go there. She does a great job. And then Bellafino Chocolates does the truffles with a dark truffle with our rain dancer. So, but also it's having those
pairings.
You know, have those pairings and understanding craft is not, it's pervasive, right? Yeah. We do the hand blown, we try to do the cheese and the chocolates and, you know, use fresh pressed and try to use local ingredients. That's a big deal. And we take pride in that. So for us, it's kind of educating the consumer on, hey, it's an art, it's a craft, and it's through the whole thing. It's not, you don't pick and choose. I want to do this, and it's crafty, and this one's not. It's got to be through the whole ecosystem.
Full circle.
And it's fun to see, you know, the payback for that. You know, the other day we stopped by our glassblower on the way up here and said hello, and I took a picture of him making our tap handles, and you don't know how many likes on Facebook that got, you know, because folks that are now becoming in our circle and in our audience appreciate that as well. Mm-hmm. And again, it's just supporting that business, because the folks that might spend a dollar more a pint to have our cider versus another are the same folks that might look for him for, you know, for glass.
That's right. Yeah. It's really, there's just something so whimsical and fun about hanging out with you.
Oh, it's mutual. This is good. It's a great dialogue. I'm really enjoying it.
You know,
good energy.
I see, you know, like right now we're sitting at this kind of like little table in this like little studio room that we have created, and Stephanie and Aaron are sitting across from me. And when I met you last night, you had this like really playful kind of like, you know.
Oh, thanks. You're very kind.
You know,
that's great.
Kind of gypsy, playful, circusy.
And I wasn't even in costume.
I love that. You're my kind of people. That's what we hang out with in Ciderville. And I have a feeling that Tennessee's really ready for this, aren't they?
They are. It's overdue. And, you know, if you look at North Carolina, so many wonderful, great craft cideries. Yeah. I mean, shout out to Red Clay, Urban Orchard, Black Mountain. I mean, so many great, they do it the right way. Virginia, the same thing. And I think Tennessee's right at that apex where both states are touching it, bordering it, and we're hoping that they really, you know, receive it well, and I think they are.
Yeah,
and we love, you know, we are friends with the breweries in East Tennessee, and they've supported us in a big way, and that's something I think is important to touch on, is that many of them have a fantastic tap room, great craft beers of their own, but they needed a cider to carry to meet the needs of the gluten-free crowd, or and so they seem to be very happy that they can offer something local versus purchasing something that was produced nowhere near Tennessee.
Yeah, no kidding. What a great thing to be able to offer on tap and to have that kind of promotion. And you went directly right into the cans. You're not even 1 year old, and you're canning, which is a big investment. Is that, do you have a canning?
No. So we use mobile canning on that
mobile
one. So it's nothing
canning.
We didn't invest as far as that piece.
Yeah,
we didn't buy
yet.
As far as getting the cans, but we didn't buy the unit itself.
That's okay.
But we use one that's an hour and 20 from where we live. So that's important. Again, our kids go to the same school as the canners. And so it's good.
And this, I think, really probably speaks to the territory you're in. You know, folks see that in cans, going to be more approachable. So that was a good branding.
Yeah, it's a big outdoor culture. You know, people jump on the river and go hiking and things in East Tennessee. And so cans are certainly more mobile in that way.
Yeah, no doubt. And they're just so playful, too. So you could have a little story.
Thanks.
You know, people always kind of like, you take off the cap, what's underneath it, and here's you, in your artwork, it's really revealing, too.
Thank you.
So you started this cidery. You didn't have any kind of like family heritage of making cider.
No, I mean, so but our background though is that, you know, so if I rewind a little bit, so we've been doing craft beer festivals for 6-7 years.
8 years.
8 years. Sorry,
who's
geez.
Counting?
But who's counting? But anyway, we've done it for a long time. So I also run the Brewers Guild in Tri-Cities, and in addition to the Brewers Guild, I manage the Beer Trail for Virginia and Tennessee. It's called Really Noted Beer Trail.
Okay.
With the CVBs and Chambers of Commerce, and the East Tennessee Beer Book is my book. So I've been working with the industry for a long time. It's just not on the cider side per se, even though, you know, home cider making, that doesn't really count as far as professional.
I think it counts a lot.
Oh, it does. Oh, it
I think
it does.
It counts a lot, actually.
Oh, it does. It does. Yeah. But I'm saying so, but that's kind of where it all came from, that, you know, working with people who really care about what they make, and they care it's local, and they care that they want to support it. Mm.
So you had a vision of this, how to enter the market from the get-go, because you're already in the market.
Yeah, so there's a big need. I mean, there's a gaping need. I mean, the Apple Festival that happens in the state of Tennessee happens in 20 minutes from where we were born.
Tell us about the Apple Festival that happens in Tennessee.
Yeah.
I'm standing here clapping my hands.
Yeah, I mean, it's in Irwin, Tennessee, in Unicoi County. It's in East Tennessee, where a lot of the older orchards are from, right? And so that's really, I mean, that's, so it's all products of Apple, but it's been a dry county until last year. So we're now trying to make our inroads in that county from an alcohol perspective. But I mean, either way, they're great to work with, and it's a, you know, apple butter's all, everything apple made, I mean, is coming from, you know, it's out of Irwin or Unicoi County in general.
What time of year is that?
That's in September.
September. Yep. Mm-hmm. Nice time.
Yep.
Well, you just hit that nail like straight on. You got a little Apple Fest happening, got this like open market. It's like the best of all worlds, and you have that connection. And I think for any like folks doing a cidery startup, you really want to think about that full picture.
Yeah.
You know, you could have good cider, but if you can't get folks to drink it, that's going to be a little bit of trouble there, right?
Yeah, it's a challenge. Yeah, I know. Well, but I think it's, but we're excited to see a lot of great cideries come online. I mean, there's a lot of planning. There's a lot of wineries that are now looking into cider in Tennessee. And so, and we're excited about that because it really, it's going to elevate the state's game a little bit, and it should be. So.
Yeah, they're going to take a little bit of catching up here, though, on this little ingenuity you have going down. So I do want to talk about what you do with like cider events too.
Sure. So about 4 years ago, Copper Mountain out in Colorado contacted us. We're ski bums in our spare time.
That's how you travel a lot of ski bums.
One of the reasons we travel. We also just like to travel and be gypsies. But they knew of us through random connections, and they said, we want to have a cider event at Copper Mountain, and you guys know how to run events, so can you come out and do this? And we've been running events in the Southeast for about 5 years at that point, and so there I go, contacting, you know, Eric at Stem Ciders and Brad at Colorado Ciders, and I think at first they were like, who is this persistent girl? But we did it in year one, and they all came back, and then some in year two. And, you know, because our goal with our events is that they're an educational experience. There's a lot of people that can throw a party, mm-hmm. and ours end up being a party accidentally. but at the end of the day, folks need to leave knowing more about what they tasted and knowing what to buy. And if they leave and have no idea, then that doesn't do anyone a service in pouring their product. And so so we have the Colorado Cider Beer Circus, and that happens in August at Copper Mountain. Every year, and this will be our third year this year.
And we also did the West Side Fest at Urban Orchard in North Carolina in Asheville. So that was more of a block party festival. So it was all the local West Asheville breweries and then the cideries in the area, right? Wow. So, you know, you got Black Mountain, you had Noble, you've got Urban Orchard, obviously. Mm-hmm. We had some guest guys come in, Red Clay. You know, so we've got...
Nice.
It's a good community. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all about community and everybody helping each other out.
Yeah,
so
right
it's
on.
Solid.
Right on. So those events that you are also still curating, mm-hmm. or I don't know if that's the right term, but...
Curating works.
Would that be on a website?
Yes, it's at superflyfabulous.com. That's our event company.
Superflyfabulous.com.
That's right. It.
I love you. You're like so awesome. I'm loving it. You know, that's a way to walk through life.
Superfly.
Beautiful. We can get down with that. And then your website for your cidery?
GypsyCircusCider.com.
GypsyCircusCider.com.
It's a mouthful.
Okay.
It is a mouthful.
Do you have a Facebook page?
Yes, it's right there. It's, you know, okay. Gypsy Circus Cider. If you find it, it's pretty easy to find. And we're on Twitter and Instagram and all those things.
You can go to Tennessee Cider on Twitter. You'll find us. That's our handle. One of our handles on Twitter is that.
Yeah. I just think if you're out there in Ciderville and you see two really fun-loving people enjoying life
awesome.
And, you know, really knowing how to hang out, make sure you grab a glass with them, have a little chat, and enjoy some of their Gypsy Circus cider.
Thanks, and stop by our tap room. Our tap room is going to be open at the top of March and have 20 taps. So we're in Kingsport, Tennessee, and so it's a nice little cider road trip.
Yep, it's a very Moroccan theme to it, so it'll be...
Morocco? Oh my goodness, in Tennessee, why not?
Why not, of course.
Hey, thanks a lot for being
us. Thanks for having us. Thank you, this is great. Thank you.
Well, I learned a whole bunch on this here chat with Stephanie and Aaron Carson of Gypsy Circus Cider Company. A whole lot about Tennessee and a little bit about the gypsy lifestyle. What I didn't happen to mention to them is that my father from the get-go called all of us gypsies, and he had a word for it, which was Chaganas, because we moved around quite a bit. So that's definitely a little bit of my background too, and I could totally relate to that traveling spirit. Well done. Go to the show notes for this episode here, number 81, to see a photo of the tap handles that Stephanie was talking about. They're really beautiful glass-blown handles that are definitely worth a look. And then Aaron was talking about the Easter egg that they put on the can for the Rain Dancer and the Queen of Swords. Well, an Easter egg, if that's not a familiar term for you, is something that is hidden, something that you put an Easter egg out during Easter time to hide for the kids. Well, they kind of hid something on the cans there too, and it's really, really fun. Fun and whimsical is what it's all about, and both Stephanie and Aaron really know how to shake that out. And of course, they are the founders behind Cider Circus, happening on August 26th at Copper Mountain. And you can win a pair of tickets. I have two pairs to give away. All you need to do is subscribe to eCider News. There'll be a link to that on the show notes and also at acciderchat.com on the menu there. I have a lot of fun chats coming up for you, Ciderville. I'll be recording a chat soon with Joe Getz of Current Cider. That cidery I mention every single week, I think, that this podcast goes live, because Current Cider kindly joined in on the Cider Going Up campaign via Patreon. That is specifically for commercial cideries and folks within the cider trade who believe in this podcast and the value that it offers to cider around the world. You know, Aaron said it on a number of times. They're not just looking at their own cidery. They're looking at all cideries. And that's what I believe this podcast brings to Ciderville. So if you're in the industry and you want to help this podcast, please join the Cider Going Up campaign page. You'll find it at ciderchat.com or just Google Patreon, Patreon, and you'll find the Cider Chat page there. And if you're just a listener and you want to help support, for $1 a month, you can become a patron of Cider Chat. And I hope that would give you a good feeling inside knowing that you are supporting this podcast, bringing amazing stories from around the world just to you. And you also get entered into every contest, and in this case, the giveaway for the two tickets to the Cider Circus coming up this August. So that's a super duper win-win. So become a patron today by just going to the Cider Chat Patreon page. There'll be a link to that in the show notes. Well, it's come to that part of the show where I must say adieu, which also kind of always leaves me a little blue. But that's how it goes, because life is busy, don't you know? Oh my goodness, I can't stop talking and rhyme. Oh, it's the cider. Hey now, this is Rio Wind Caller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Yeehaw!